Good evening, everyone. It's good to be together in this way. I'd like to direct your attention to the book of Psalms and read together with you from Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. They are two separate psalms, and yet, as you'll see, they are closely connected with a very special refrain. And that refrain will be our particular focus this evening. But let's read together Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, the Word of God. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, Where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, Where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Let's pray together. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Make that to be the great cry of our hearts. And satisfy, Lord, that cry. Like Augustine of long ago, we confess till today, our hearts are restless till they find rest in you. We pray that you will bless our meditation this evening, that your Holy Spirit will help us with understanding and to respond also in faith. May we love to hear the Word of God, and may we love you above all, the God of the Word. We pray all this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Well, tonight I want to highlight the words, hope in God. You find them in in Psalm 42, verse 5, and verse 11, and again in 43, verse 5. Hope in God. The psalmist is speaking to himself. He is addressing himself. And so much of our spiritual life is exactly this, isn't it? Learning to talk to ourselves in the right way and to take ourselves along by God's word in the way of faith. And to do so as the psalmist in this text, hope in God, he is saying, hope in God, O my soul. That's what he is saying. And we need to say the same thing, every believer. Maybe you are already saying it. You have been saying it to yourself for some days and weeks, maybe for many years already, saying it to your family or to others. It has to be our fallback, our default, hope in God. That's the focus tonight, the message that we want to hear. And let's work through a few points. One is, what is behind these words? What is behind these words, hope in God, O my soul? In other words, what is the scenario, the context, the situation? And very simply, what is behind these words is the psalmist missing God. The psalmist is missing God. We hear that in verses 1 and 2. My soul pants for God. My soul thirsts for God. In other words, he is missing God. Now he knows God. He's at peace with God. He lives in relationship to God. He's able to address God as my God. But for some reason, in these moments, he finds that there is a distance between him and God. The psalmist feels like he is far from God, like there is no sense of God's gracious presence in his life, no communion with God. And it seems to be that there is some kind of trouble in the psalmist's life, especially that he is surrounded by adversaries. He mentions that in verses 8 and 9 of 42. And again in 1 and 2 of 43, he writes about enemies and an ungodly nation and a deceitful and unjust man. And as a result of him or them, as a result, the psalmist is enduring oppression. He is suffering scorn. And it is not easy for him. And while we do not know the details, it seems the adversaries are inflicting some kind of harm, maybe socially. Maybe they are excluding him in some way. Or maybe even physically they are assaulting him. And worst of all, they are mocking him. And they are mocking his faith. And they are mocking his God. Where is your God? They are saying to him. How come he is not helping you? And so all of this is compounding the distress. The psalmist is missing God. And he is in the midst of trouble. And notice, and here is the particular application to us today. Notice how the psalmist is missing the fact that he cannot meet God in the sanctuary. He cannot meet God in the sanctuary. This is a particular point of concern and lament for the psalmist. Verse 4 of Psalm 42. I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. With the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. So we can say he's remembering when he used to go to church, as it were. When, with the people of God, he was able to assemble together in the sanctuary. And where they met the Lord, and where the Lord met them, and they worshipped, and they communed together. In Psalm 43, verse 3 and 4, we hear the psalmist longing to return to the sanctuary. Lead me, he is saying. Lead me with your light and your truth. Lead me back to that place where I may meet my God, my exceeding joy. He misses meeting God in the sanctuary. And how many of us understand this very point? Hasn't it been so long now since we could come together as a congregation? And we miss that. We miss many things about that. To be sure, we miss each other. We miss being together. We miss fellowship. Oh, how we miss that. But it is more than that. At least it should be. Coming together is more than the social. There is a particular spiritual blessing. There is a special meeting with God here in the sanctuary. Here in person, under the means of grace. Now, of course, we are very thankful for the technology. God, in his kindness, has so ordained things that when this pandemic has struck and the churches have to be closed in the way that they are, we have other means whereby we may still hear the word and be taught the gospel. And we should not diminish that at all. God, we can say, is in no way limited to a place or to a building. Especially now after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit has come, he is able to meet us anywhere, anytime, in any circumstance. And we may have rich communion with God. But still, There is something unique. There is something precious about live, in-person worship. And every believer gets that and over time understands that more and more. Here in the house of God, in the worship of God, God meets us. He comes very near. And there is a reality to that, that no technology is able to approximate in exactly the same way. God comes to be present with His people in the sanctuary. And for many weeks now, we have been without that. And all believers miss that. This is more than simply missing God in our life. All Christians go through seasons when God seems to be far away, when for whatever reason He may hide His face. And then we start to long for Him again and to want to be with Him. But our text is more than that. We miss meeting Him here. We miss meeting our triune God in public worship in the church. We used to go with the multitude. We went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. We did. But now we don't. We can't. In the providence of God, we are not able to. And what a burden that is. And what a trial that is. And we are grieved. And we can even be cast down. Like the psalmist, cast down and disquieted in turmoil inside. And it is not persecution as such. We understand that. At the same time, it's no doubt true that the enemies of God and His people, all our enemies are loving this. The church is shut down, at least formally, publicly. What a day of rejoicing for the enemies of the church. And maybe they are saying, maybe you have heard them even say it, "Where's your God, Christian? How come He is not delivering you? Why doesn't He help us? Doesn't all of this prove there is no God?" That's their line. "There is no God. You Christians are delusional." I heard exactly that last week. Christians are delusional. But it's in this very context then that the psalmist says to himself, "No. Hope in God." See, he's missing God, and there are enemies, and they are mocking him. And for some reason, he cannot get home to the sanctuary, and he misses meeting with God there in worship. And it is a tremendously discouraging, disheartening time, and the temptation is very real to give up in despair. But that is not where the psalmist lets himself go. "No," he says to himself, "why are you cast down? Hope in God." And when he says that, we need to hear his spirit. We need to hear his spirit. And that's the second thing then to point out this evening. Not just what is behind these words, "Hope in God, O my soul." What is behind them, but also what marks these words. What marks them? "Hope in God, O my soul." And here we can highlight at least two things. One is confidence. What marks these words, "hope in God," what marks these words is confidence. The psalmist is confident. To say "hope in God," that means put your trust in God. Look to God to meet you, to come to you. Look to God to deliver you. Look to God, soul. Put all your trust in God. Hope in God. And when the psalmist says that, he is confident. And we know that because of the next thing that he says. "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him." I shall praise Him still. So I remember when I used to praise Him, he's saying. I remember with the congregation, with the voice of joy and praise, we went to the house of God. And we remember too, don't we? We all remember. It's maybe a little hard to remember. May have gotten a little fuzzy, but we thought this would always be available to us. We couldn't imagine previously having to go through something like this. Now we know the blessing. At least we measure it more than we used to. We Hopefully when God restores it to us, we'll be so grateful for what we may have, we'll be so careful. But for now, we simply remember. And we're sad and we're grieving, but hoping in God, we may be confident still. We will do it again. We will praise God again in His house. I shall yet praise Him. Now, to be very clear, maybe not exactly in this place, and maybe not in this life. Don't we have to say that? The truth is, we don't know what a new day will bring. That's reality all our life. We don't know also now, we don't know when the current restrictions will lift. We don't have any idea really when things will return to normal. Could it be that they never do? Could it be that the world has changed in a way that what we used to enjoy is now in the past, never to return? Maybe not. Likely not. Hopefully not. But it could be. We just don't know. It's also true that the world is tightening its noose around the neck of the church. The world is tightening its noose around the neck of the church. And while we know that the world will never succeed, I mean, it cannot succeed, not ultimately. At the same time, we don't know what suffering may be ahead for the church of God in our day, even in our place. We never know that. We never know. But even so, even if we should never be allowed to assemble in this place like we used to do, even if that should be the way things go, still we don't hope in vain. Instead, we may hope with confidence. And here's why. God's plan for His people is to bring them into His eternal house. God's plan for all who trust Him and love Him, all who believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and follow Him, God's plan is to take every Christian safely through life and then into everlasting life, where we will praise the Lord together with all the people of God. And there will be no social distancing rules in heaven. Never. And there will be no masks needed in heaven. Never. And there will be no limitations laid down in heaven. No one will be cast down in heaven. No one will be disquieted or in turmoil in heaven. There will be no sin, no sickness in heaven, no hindrance whatsoever in heaven. No sense ever of separation from God in heaven. But before His face, together with all the saints and all the angels, God's people will live in perfect communion and will engage in perfect praise and worship. I shall yet praise Him in His house. Even if today I cannot, even if here I may never again, yet I shall praise Him. Do you hear the confidence? And do you share that confidence tonight? And then there is something else that marks these words, hope in God. Not only confidence, but also endurance. Confidence and endurance. You see, what's in view here is the psalmist challenging himself to be patient, to persevere, yes, to endure. This is why he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me?" Think of the future. Don't let current circumstances bring you down and keep you down. No, hope in God. Every day, hope in God. With every disappointment, hope in God. In the face of every attack, every assault, every challenge, whatever that may be, hope in God. See, this is about endurance. And endurance is what marks these words of the psalmist. And it is what is to mark our whole life as confessing Christian believers and as church. Even when all around us may seem to be giving way, we're to stand firm. We're to keep hoping in God. Today still we cannot meet. We're not able to. Today still we are restricted. But never mind that. My hope is in God. I hope in Him. In Him alone. Endurance. Well, that is what marks our text. The psalmist is expressing confidence and the psalmist is displaying endurance. In fact, with these very words, hope in God, He is helping himself. And surely there is a lesson here for us. Because it is easy to say, how do we endure? Sometimes all we are hearing, all the messaging can be so negative and overwhelming, so hopeless. Just think of the word of this morning, the emergency order here in Ontario extended again, another 10 days. And we didn't want that. And we maybe don't understand it. And we can become very discouraged. How to endure? Well, let us do exactly what the psalmist is doing. Let us be telling ourselves, hope in God. Sometimes we have to take ourselves in hand. You know, we have to stop everything and look ourselves in the eye. Look our souls in the eye. And we have to say, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope in God. And to engage in that kind of self-talk. And not just to engage in that self-talk, but then to progress from self-talk to God-talk. Because hoping in God is not just something you say, but something you show. By going to God with everything and saying, Lord, I lay it before you. You help. Hope in God, O my soul. So what's behind these words? What marks these words? But maybe someone says, what if they are just words? What if hoping in God is in reality hopeless? Many people think so. It is the way of sinful man by nature. He hates God. He rejects God. He thinks God is nothing. But is that right? Is it true that hoping in God is hopeless? Well, here we go to our last point tonight. What is key to these words? What is key to these words? Or vital or critical or essential? All important. And here it is. What is key to these words? Hope in God. What is key is that the God in whom we hope, He is no doubt the true and living God and the gracious and glorious Savior God. That's what's key to these words. Hope in God, O my soul. What's key is that God is living and true. And what's key is that God is gracious and glorious as Savior God. In verse 2 of Psalm 42, we read, He is the living God. He's alive. He exists. He's real and true. But even more, in verse 8, He is described as the Lord. In other words, as Jehovah or Yahweh, a name that highlights His eternity and His faithfulness and His being the Savior of His people. And that is further confirmed when the psalmist refers still in verse 8. The psalmist refers to the Lord's loving kindness. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the morning. His loving kindness means His steadfast love, His free mercy and grace, and His kindness to sinners. In addition, He gives songs to His people. He enables us to sing. And we of all people have reasons to sing and riches to sing of. And it all comes from God. And likewise, we can approach Him in prayer. And we have access to Him in prayer, far from His sanctuary, as it were, we may still call upon Him in prayer. And still more, in verse 9, He is called a rock to His people. In Psalm 43, He is full of light and truth, and by them He leads us. And then in verse 4 of 43, He satisfies us like no one else, like nothing else. God, my exceeding joy. And notice too the pronouns, how He will be our God. And you can make that individually personal. He will be my God. And all of this is to highlight how He is the true and living God and the Savior. And just think how we can know for sure, because it has been confirmed in our incarnation and in the crucifixion and in the resurrection. And let's remember that yet as we close this evening. Let's remember the Lord Jesus Christ, how He suffered, how He was surrounded by enemies, how He was driven out of the house of God, out of the holy city, how He was crucified. And all that time people were saying to Him, where is your God now, Jesus? He trusted in God, let Him deliver Him if He will have Him. And then came the waves and billows washing over Him, the waves and billows of the wrath of God, of the judgment of God, of being so very far from his God. My God, why have you forsaken me? And all of it was for all my sin and for all your sin. We who deserve to be forever far from God, forever under his condemnation for all our rebellion, all our willfulness, all our stubborn wickedness. And yet through what Jesus Christ has endured, as confirmed now also by the resurrection and his ascension, we may be forgiven and we may be restored and we may be brought near and we may live at peace with God and be saved by God and delight in God and be close to God and be kept by God. And someday be brought to God. And that is for any and every sinner who turns to him even now. Oh, the Lord is the true and living God. He is the great Savior God. And because that is so, to say to ourselves, to say to each other, hope in God, that is not a vain word. That is a good word. That is a sure word. This God can be trusted. This God loves to be trusted. He will no doubt deliver us. And that's what it means when we read at the end of verse 5 about the help of his countenance. That means him turning his face to us. His face of love and mercy and grace. He simply has to turn his face to us and we are saved. Like we sing in another psalm, we shall be saved when your face shines once more. And his face shining on us as he does in Jesus Christ and by his Spirit. Well, that results in verse 11 and again in 43:5, that results in our faces shining. Our faces and our lives being delivered and our souls being saved. The help of his countenance results in also the help of our countenance. And if we hope in this God, he will not fail us. And so, congregation, friends, all who are listening, hope in God. Hope in God. Let us be saying that very word to ourselves, to each other, in these hard times. Saying it and then also following through. Hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. Let us pray together. Once more, O Lord, our God, our rock and our salvation, we come to you tonight and we pray that we may do what this psalmist said to himself. Hope in God, that we ourselves may say it and that we ourselves may do it. We confess that it is a good word and it is a needed word. For all sorts of reasons can conspire to cast us down and to disquiet our hearts. We are passing through strange days. We are passing through difficult days. Yes, there are many blessings and you are providing for us still. And we thank you for all your goodness. But Lord, like the psalmist missed meeting you in the sanctuary, so we miss meeting you in the sanctuary. We miss, O Lord, coming together for public worship. We miss being able to greet one another and to encourage one another in the Lord. We miss being here in this place to sing together the praises of the triune God and to read together the word of God and to hear it proclaimed in person. And while we are thankful that we can hear it over the internet, even tonight we can hear it. We are thankful, Lord, for this means and we acknowledge your kindness to us. Nevertheless, we prize above all the opportunity to be together in person under the means of grace. And Lord, we don't know how long this will go on that we cannot be together. We don't know all that is happening. We don't understand all of your providential ways. We are very much humbled before you. We are subject to you. We pray that you will hear our cries for mercy and for deliverance. We pray that in your loving kindness you may also set us free. Then we think of the virus and we pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are dying. Every day we hear about people who are dying. Every day the numbers go up, the people who have died. And we live in a dying world. We are born into this world to die. The wages of sin is death. We know all of that, O Lord. And yet we are solemnized by the reality of it. We pray that you would be merciful to those who are in need. And we pray, Lord, that if it can be your will, you might restrain your hand and grant relief. We pray that you will bless every effort underway, every just effort, every righteous effort underway to mitigate or to overcome the sickness. We commend all those who are involved in that process to you. Wisdom comes from on high. Grant wisdom, O Lord, to those who work on behalf of the rest of us. We pray for doctors and nurses and hospital staff and their professions. We pray, Lord, for those who serve the elderly in homes of care. We have heard difficult things in the last number of days, and we acknowledge that as a people we have failed to care for our elderly. We have failed to respect life as we ought. In many ways, we are guilty of carelessness and of recklessness and of abject failure in our duty to honor our father and our mother. Forgive our sins, O Lord, as a society, these sins and many more. We pray that you would remember our government and its manifold responsibility to gauge all of the issues involved and to make careful and wise and helpful decisions. And Lord, we pray that you would give to our Prime Minister, to our Premier, to the governors at every level, we pray that they would receive from you wisdom to go forward in a way also that can serve the well-being of society, in a way that can serve also the flourishing of the church. And then we commend ourselves into your hand. You are the Almighty God. You are a most gracious and merciful God. We pray, Lord, that as we hope in you, and will you help us to do that? Will you help us to hope in you every day to meet our anxieties or to meet our concerns or to meet our frustrations with this word, hope in God? We pray that we may do so with confidence. The kind of confidence that is able to say, even if we may never worship here like we used to do, someday we will for sure worship like we have never done, in all fullness and perfection in the eternal house of God. We pray that that reality may condition us and strengthen us, and we pray that we may go forward then in boldness and in courage, and that we may endure. How long yet must we endure? We don't know. But we pray that we may endure, that we may run with patience the race that is set before us. Keep us, O Lord, from a murmuring and a complaining spirit. It is so easily near the surface. We pray to be delivered from that, and that we may honor you, that we may be exemplary Christians, even in our society, in our communities, and in our conversations and in our conduct. O Lord, we seek help from on high. We seek help with you, the living God, the true God, the God who is the great Savior. And then we think of how we are so undeserving of any and every blessing. And we acknowledge that also, how many our sins are, how great our sins are. But you have made a remedy for our sins and sinfulness through your Son, and through your Son having to go the way of the cross, and for your Son having to be isolated and alone and assaulted and abandoned and to suffer the judgment that we deserve. What waves and billows washed over him, and where, O Lord, were you in his time of need? By sovereign decree and according to an eternal plan, you forsook him. And he bore that so that you might never forsake us. We pray that this great gospel hope may be what sustains us and strengthens us. We pray, Lord, that any and everyone listening who is not yet panting for God, or knowing that they are panting for God, may come, Lord, to seek you and serve you, finding they can have no other joy than to know you and to be in relationship with you. We pray that you will bless us further in this evening and in the remainder of this week, remembering every family and every individual who is listening. And Lord, as a loving Father, you know also all our particular needs. And we pray that we may look to you and that we may be strengthened by you. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope in God. For we shall yet praise you, the help of our countenance and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night, everyone. Hope in God.